Well, once again, we are honored to have with us this morning the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Dr. Stumbo was elected to his third term as president at General Council 2021 in Nashville, Tennessee. But it all started at the moving of the Holy Spirit in his life when he surrendered to the Lord's call and the Lord's moving at the Life Conference in 1976 in St. Louis. John and his wife, Joanna, have been married for 38 years. They have three adult children. They have three grandsons and two granddaughters. And so we are so happy to have John with us this morning. Would you give a warm FAC welcome to the Reverend Dr. John Stumbo?
Thank you, bro. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, good morning, church. It's great to be back at First Alliance Erie. I realize that we have awkwardness in the room right now, and that some of you have been in part of the Christian Missionary Alliance your entire lifetime. You prayed for me back during a health crisis. You were here when I gave my testimony in 2012, and you know the whole story. Others of you are newer to First Alliance, newer to the Christian Missionary Alliance, and are wondering why do they have a president who sounds like he smokes three packs of cigarettes a day. So. So we got the whole variety in the room of the backgrounds, and so Pastor Ben has invited me to do a couple of things today. One is I want to kind of share this family that you're part of, and then also to bring a message from God's Word from Acts chapter 1. So let me first of all introduce you to this family that you're part of, First Alliance, this broader Alliance family. We have as our core focus this phrase, all of Jesus for all the world. The fullness of Christ, our saving, sanctifying, healing, returning Jesus, and we want him known by everybody. All of Jesus for all the world. One story, 100 years ago, a couple of young adults went to the country of Cambodia to ask the governor if we could bring the message of Jesus to a land that had never heard of Christ. He said, we already have our own religion. You won't have any success, but go ahead and do what you want to do. And so I got to be there 100 years later for the celebration of the 100-year anniversary of the Christian Missionary Alliance and the gospel in Cambodia. And it was a joyful celebration as thousands of people came and engaged in this celebration moment of the church and the gospel in that land. We are very serious about taking God's word to the places where his message is not yet known. And some of those places are among unreached peoples or remote people groups, villages that have not had access to the gospel. And when the gospel takes hold, they have their own cultural expression of Jesus in their community and in their language. The training of next generation of leaders is vital for us as we watch God raise up more people who will embrace the love of Jesus and say he's called them to take that message further. This man was run over by an 18-wheeler. He was riding a moped, knocked off. He was wearing the khaki pants the day that I met him with the 18-wheeler tire mark across his thigh. And God spared his life, and he's now a bold evangelist for Jesus. Young adult training centers we have around the world. This is all in Cambodia still, but training centers we have around the world because the next generation matters, kids matter, and so it's a delight to be part of this family. This is Thailand, where 1,000 people gathered recently for a baptism service, not just for the service. 1,000 people gathered to be baptized. More than that came for the service. And it wasn't just Cambodia that had a 100-year anniversary. Burkina Faso, Mali, Syria, and Colombia, South America all turned 100 as part of the Christian Missionary Alliance family this last year. This is a former brothel in Dominican Republic that we have purchased and redeemed as a young adult training center, a coffee shop, and a local church plant. So there's just stories like this happening all over the world as we try to live out this All of Jesus for All the World theme. I could quadruple the number of stories this morning. Just know that these are your stories, First Alliance, because you participate in this thing. You have for your entire existence in this church participated in this global work of the Alliance family. So I'm not telling you my stories. I'm telling you your stories of what God has been doing. Now, we have some goals right now as a bigger family, and one of those goals is to send one new missionary every week for the next 2 years. We just had a board meeting 2 weeks ago, and released a whole new wave, and so I'm delighted to tell you that we are on target so far, 38 weeks or so into this journey. We're on target for sending one new international worker every week, opening one new door, like a new effort among an unreached people group or a new country we haven't been in before, to have one new major effort every year. The one right now is, I don't know if you heard, but the country of Indonesia is relocating their nation's capital. Imagine picking up Washington, D.C. and planting it in Kansas. Well, that's pretty much what Indonesia is doing. They're taking their nation's capital of Jakarta and transporting it to the island of Kalimantan. The wonderful thing for us is we have tried to get into that particular region for a long time because there's a handful of unreached people groups who live there, but they've been resistant to outsiders or foreigners present. But now that the nation's capital is coming there, we're welcome there, and we are there. And so that's the open door for this year, and others are underway for the future. Our goal is also one new church plant in the United States of America every week for the next 2 years. We're not quite on target with this, but we're close. We're a few dozen have already been planted within this last 9 months, and so we're not just a over there somewhere kind of ministry. We're a here ministry as well, as I will talk about in my message. And our goal of starting One Alliance Place, that's actually a physical address, One Alliance Place, Reynoldsburg, Ohio, but it's also a dream for us as we seek to reposition how we do a national office. Let me explain that for a moment. Would you, excuse me, would you agree with this statement that in our lifetimes there's been an increasing marginalization of the church in our society? Does that make sense? That we've been kind of pushed to the sidelines? Well, in our view, it's time to reposition. And so here's what that looks like for us as the Christian Missionary Alliance. We're imagining an intentional step towards a meaningful, impactful presence. That phrase, meaningful, impactful presence, that phrase is what we've done overseas to get into countries like Iraq or places that you can't just come and be a missionary on your visa, but you can get in through other means. Well, that's what we believe that we should increasingly do in the United States. This is our founder, Dr. A.B. Simpson, who started us in New York City in the 1880s, a bustling city full of new immigrants. And our first office was a half block from Times Square. Wasn't Times Square at the time, but what became Times Square, and right in the marketplace, just like in the New Testament, they started in the temple courts. He started in the marketplace. But for whatever reason, we, when every other Christian organization I know, moved to the suburbs or moved to a business park. And that's where we operated, out of Nyack, New York, and out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. We operated out of business parks for decades. But we start to ask the question, is it okay that we're overseeing a mission, but we never encounter a non-believer Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, our entire careers, because we're in a secure business park where you're trespassing if you come on our property? Are you okay with that? And we start to say, no, we oversee a mission. We want to be on mission as we come to work. So we if you're going to ask one irritating question, you might as well ask two. If we're not officing the right way, or are we officing the right city? And that's where we said we'd be nice to have a top 100 airport, greater racial diversity, lower cost of living. Well, there's 17 cities in America that had a better airport, greater diversity, and lower cost of living than Colorado Springs. That was too many cities to research, so we put the map of the Christian Missionary Alliance over the top, and that's what led us to Columbus, Ohio. I could drive to 107 churches from Colorado Springs in 9 hours. I can drive to 760 churches from Columbus, Ohio in 9 hours. So we drove here last night rather than having to have an expensive flight to get here. So we packed up Dr. Simpson himself, and we made the move back east, and your denomination bought a Kmart. Woo-hoo! Well, it was the city was asking for somebody to come and help them to this drug trade, prostitution, all sorts of stuff was going on in this property. The state paid us $1 million to tear down the Kmart, and so that's how it looks now. We have 14 acres of prime real estate right outside of Columbus, Ohio, in the surrounding area called Reynoldsburg, 15 minutes from the airport. It's a remarkable property. Right now, those big boys with big trucks are moving big amounts of dirt around to get all that site work kind of stuff done. And this is what the site looks like today, where we dream of this intersection of our ministry with the community in such a way where the life of Jesus gets to get lived out. So the dream's still a ways off. We have nothing built yet, but we have the land purchased, and all of that was outside of the Great Commission Fund. Then there's a brochure on that. If anybody is interested, you're welcome to pick one of those up at the table. So that's what your family is doing in this repositioning, trying to place ourselves back within the ebb and flow of community so that all of Jesus for all the world mission gets lived out among us. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay. I just gave you like a 10-minute CEO hat kind of thing. I came as president and gave you an update as to what you're part of, and thank you for bearing with me on that. But what we really came today to do was to listen to God's word. So would you open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 1. One of the key passages that has shaped this denomination through the years is Acts chapter 1. There's other passages, Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a testimony in the whole world to all nations, and then the end will come. Those are some key passages, but this is one of the core ones of the Alliance family through the years. And let's begin Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Would you stand in honor of God's word today? So when they, chapter 1, verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the time or the date that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had spoken these words, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. As they were looking intently up into the sky, suddenly two men appeared dressed in white. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the very same way you've seen him go into heaven. May God bring his word to our hearts today. You may be seated. And that may have been the most Bibles I've seen in people's hands in a very long time. Ben, I celebrate that. Ben, thank you for this privilege of getting to stand here today. I respect your ministry, and I am glad that God called you to this place some months ago, and And thank you for sharing this moment for me to share from this passage. Now, as those of you who are school teachers or educators or all that have tried to make us believe the sentence that there are no stupid questions. You've tried to convince us of that through the years. But we all know that sometimes our questions are loaded with a lack of understanding. And these disciples have some misunderstandings embedded in their question. I want to point out three misconceptions of the disciples and see if any of us have made the same mistake, and how Jesus so sweetly corrects them without a rebuke, but with a gentle redirection of their thought. So the first one is the when question. Lord, are you at this time? Lord, are you at this time? They want to know when God is going to do what God is going to do. And Jesus says what? It's not for you to know the times or the dates. In other words, you don't get to know the when question. Hardly ever do we get to know when something is going to happen. Haven't you asked God, can we hurry this up? Can we speed this up? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? Haven't you wondered that in your life? I have. I didn't eat for a year and a half. I didn't know it was going to be a year and a half. I didn't know if it'd be ever. The when question. Only God is big enough to know the future and not have it mess up the present. If we knew what was coming, it would change us too much today. We wouldn't live out the moment knowing the future. And so we rarely get to know what's ahead. We just have to trust. Irritating, isn't it? To just have to trust. But this is the way of God in our lives. That he has a good plan. He has a good purpose. He is doing a good thing. He's writing a good story in your life. But the timing of it is his business. So trust him. So that's the first misconception they have as they come to Christ that day. Second one is the what question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Okay, this was their thought of what Jesus was going to do next. That certainly he had come for them to have them throw off the control of the Roman Empire and for them to rule themselves again. They could have their Davidic kingdom again. They could be in charge. Lord, is now the time that you're going to give us our kingdom back? And they weren't the first or the last ones to think that the story was just about them. They wanted Jesus to serve their kingdom. And that still remains an issue in our hearts today. Jesus, serve me for my agenda, my plans. Sweetly, Jesus implies, yes, I do care about you, but my plan is much bigger than that. Because what was his answer? You'll be my witnesses in, here's my plan, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, their city, right where they were, Judea, the surrounding area, kind of like the rival sports team, or the, you know, the town across the bridge or the next zip code over. Samaria, people who live close to you who are not like you. Proximity, not many miles, but ethnically, culturally, linguistically, a world apart, but now living together. And then all the way to the ends of the earth. That was Jesus' plan. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth plan. Wow, much bigger than their, what are you going to do for us? Yes, I'll do something for you, but not just you. Let's stop and talk about that for a minute. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. in the kind hospitality of your church staff and Amy and everybody. We got a gift basket when we came into town last night. My wife and I did a whole basket. It included some of these local Romolo. Is that how you say it? I've never been exposed to your local chocolate. Now, chocolate's one of my love languages, so this is good. Now, you're expanding me now with sponge candy. I don't know what I'm about to enjoy this afternoon, but sponge candy and some almonds. But it came with also this cup, which reads, "It's okay to love Erie." I love this. I love this. First of all, because it indicates a bit of perhaps an acknowledgement that not everybody thinks that Erie is the greatest place on the planet, because they haven't been here. I like the expression of local pride that's in a humble manner. It's better than the motto of Cleveland, the mistake on the lake, or the motto of Ohio, it's worse somewhere else. I made that up. I hope you do love Erie. Seriously, I hope you do love Erie. Whether you've been here for, whether you're going to be here for 5 months, you think, or you're five generations deep, I hope you love this city. May God give you a holy passion for it, because this is your Jerusalem. And even to people who didn't want to be there, Jeremiah 25 and Jeremiah 29, writing a letter to those in exile, those who've been hauled away to live in a country they didn't even want to be in, Jeremiah writes, "Enter and bless." That's a summary. Enter into that city. Invest in it. Pray for the well-being. Pray for the well-being of the city. Invest in your town. Make it better, because God's planted you there. Even if you don't think you're going to be there long, be fully present. Love this city, your Jerusalem. And even the announcements alone this morning were evidence that there is a love and investment in the city. Judea, the surrounding area. In the Alliance, that's where we think of church planting, that people only drive so far or only have so much community from a distance. So that's where we think in terms of church planting. Samaria, people who live close to you are not like you. Never before in American history, never before in world history, has there been so much Samaria, the commingling of cultures and nations together. So 10,000 Haitians living in Springfield, Ohio, a small community just outside of Columbus. 50,000 Nepalese, Bhutanese people living in the greater Columbus area. I'm told that here in your fine city, there's Ukrainian and there's Nepalese Bhutanese. And you are part of a broad movement across America where there's a million international students studying in the United States of America every year, and some of them are right here in your own town from nations that we can't get a missionary into, but they're here at this moment. I celebrate your ESL. That's an expression of your Samaria outreach. I'm calling us that may we have a heart to see the neighbor that is among us and see this as part of the biblical mandate that we've been given for us to love and extend the name of Jesus. You're saying, well, I can't even speak their language. Everybody speaks smile. Everybody speaks chocolate chip cookie. It's the universal love language. Just bake a batch of cookies, take them across the street to that new neighbor. Everybody understands hospitality. And by the way, they can understand more English than they can speak, because that's the way language learning works. You can always understand more than you can articulate yourself. So, while they may not be able to say as much to you, you can share with them. Samaria. And to the ends of the earth. And Pastor Ben, I didn't mention this to you last night at dinner, but Erie First Alliance has now crossed in your giving to the Great Commission Fund throughout your church history. your giving to support our global work, the sending of these missionaries, all those missionaries, that's Great Commission Fund, all this work that I showed you on the picture before, besides the Project Reimagine, that's separate, but all this advances through the Great Commission Fund. Your church has now crossed the $5 million mark through your history in giving to the Great Commission. That's remarkable. From one church. Can you reach the world from Erie, Pennsylvania? I guess so. Way to go, church. Way to go. I need to move on for sake of time. Three misconceptions in the disciples' question. Three corrections that Jesus gives. The when, the what, and now the who. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? How many times have we said to God, what are you going to do about this? God, what are you going to do? And Jesus, watch this. Lord, are you at this time going to restore? And he says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and beyond. One you coming up at him, three you's coming back at us. Did you see that? How sweet and gentle Jesus is, but he's making a point. I am going to do something, Jesus is saying. I will do something. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you the most important thing that you could ever receive. My Spirit. To come and not just live among you, but live within you and empower you and strengthen you and help you to see what you would not otherwise see and love those you would not otherwise love and be the kind of person you would not otherwise be able to be. That's what I'm going to do. And then you, in an empowered manner, are going to be able to take my message, Jerusalem, all the way to the ends of the earth. Isn't that beautiful? He invites us. He invites us into his global plan. So three questions. There are three misconceptions in their question. The when, the what, the who. And Jesus lets them know, leave the timing to God. Understand the mission is massive, global. And you are my plan. A Holy Spirit empowered form of you. A Holy Spirit refined form of you. But you are my plan to carry out my message. All of Jesus for all the world. I want to close with three stories. I think I have time. That bring these to a focus, I would think, in our hearts. When we first moved to Columbus, I was asked to speak at all of our local churches, really, which was great. The largest Alliance church in Columbus is an Ethiopian congregation. Delightful, wonderful worship. They asked me to come early and speak to the youth group for their Sunday school, and they asked me to speak on the Holy Spirit. Okay, this was going to be interesting. Subject of Holy Spirit, teenagers. I don't talk to teenagers too often. In Ethiopian context that I've never been in Ethiopian church before. So I got there. All the men were on this side and all the young women were on this side. I don't know what was happening, but that's just the way they had Sunday school. And age range, probably 13 to 25, I would guess, was the youth group. If you were still single, you were in the youth group, it looked like. I was doing it interactively. I was trying to get feedback from them. And so I would talk a little bit, then ask a question, talk a little bit, ask a question. And they were well studied. Everything that I asked, they had an answer for, all of them coming from the guide's side. And it was fine, but the question at the moment was, when the Holy Spirit changes us, when we receive him and he begins to make a difference in our lives, what changes? One of the young guy's hands goes up. Fruit of the Spirit, he said. Fruit of the Spirit. Well, true. Galatians 5, that when the Spirit of God comes to us, we will have love, joy, peace, etc. But it felt like a check the box textbook. I know that one from last Sunday school class answer, you know. So I had to step back for a moment and I said, ladies, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I haven't got to hear from you yet. Would any of you want to share what changes in us when the Holy Spirit has freedom to do his work in our lives? She couldn't have been more than ninth grade and 90 pounds. But her little hand went up and she said, well, when we're changed by the Holy Spirit, we begin to see people we wouldn't otherwise see. I knew two things instantly. One, she knew the Holy Spirit. She knew what it was to have the Holy Spirit at work in her life. And two, she knew what it was to be unseen. A slight immigrant girl in our city, it's easy to just look right over the top of them. I had the experience and I lived for a year in a wheelchair. People that I knew, I had been in their home. I am 8 feet away from them. Walk right past me, never even looked down to see who the guy was in the wheelchair. Unseen, invisible. The deaf are unseen. The disabled are unseen. The immigrant, unseen. Until the Spirit of God starts to do something in our hearts, and we begin to realize, wow. And not just see that they exist, but to begin to see their story. Story number two. I had the privilege of being in the Middle East probably a year before COVID. Don't you mark everything pre-COVID, COVID, and post-COVID? I mean, that's I don't know years. I just know pre-COVID, COVID, post-COVID. But anyway, got to meet a Muslim background believer. Got to meet quite a few, actually. But one of them I got to sit down with for 2 hours and just talk, and he told me his story. And like many former Muslims who now are following Jesus, this man came to faith through dreams. Fairly common. And this, God is using that method. This man had been a very devout Muslim. He was more devout than any of his friends, rising earlier in the morning than they rose to do his prayers. 5 times a day he did the prayers, fasted multiple times a month. He was very dedicated, more dedicated than anybody you know, became disillusioned with Islam, walked away, and for a decade had no faith at all. Just stayed Islamic in name, but not in a dedicated practice. When one night he had a dream. And Jesus appeared to him and simply said, read my book. Well, he knew enough to know that that was the Injil, the New Testament. And so at some risk, he got a hold of a New Testament and in privacy began to read, starting in Matthew chapter 1. And he gets to the point where it says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. He slammed the book shut and said, that's ridiculous. Nobody can do that. Love your enemies. Give me a break. What a bunch of garbage. And he throws it in the drawer in a hidden place and forgets about it. A couple nights later, Jesus shows up again in his dream. I said, read my whole book. Okay. So he digs it out of his drawer and hibernates for a few days in some secluded kind of way where he goes to read the entire thing in a few days' time. And by the time he reaches the end, he yields his heart to the salvation of Jesus Christ. He realizes the truth and beauty of the story. He embraces it and begins to love the Lord and try to figure out what it means to follow Jesus in his Muslim family and nation culture. The brother-in-laws, his wife's brothers, find out. Big guys, he said. They're big men. And they pummeled him. And they threatened to take away his bride, his wife, if he didn't recant from this faith in Jesus. And then with tears coming down his eyes, he said, and they walked on me? See, in that culture, the bottom of your foot is the dirtiest thing, and to defile anything is to walk on it. And they walked on him as a statement of their utter horror and rejection of who he had become. And the third dream came. And Jesus said, what you couldn't do without me, you can now do with me. Love your enemies? Are you kidding? What a stupid... Oh, now he has enemies. And he has Jesus who says, we can do this together. You're right, you couldn't on your own, but we can do this together. I can love them through you. And I was hearing that story a decade later when he had walked faithfully with Christ and figured it out with his family in some way and been able to retain his bride and who had now become a follower of Jesus. I'm saying to you, church, this is not a try harder message. Try harder to love the immigrant. Try harder to reach the world for Christ. Try harder. I didn't say that. Please don't hear that. This is a, you'll receive a new strength and a new ability and a new ability to see when you open your heart more fully to the Holy Spirit. And if you've come to Christ for salvation, you've received the Spirit within you, so allow the Spirit to do all He wants through you. Last story. About the same time, I got to be in the Philippines. Christian Missionary Alliance has 5 national churches that have outgrown the U.S. Christian Missionary Alliance. So we are larger in places like Vietnam and Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, Africa, than we are in the United States. And Philippines is one of those places. So when they have their national conference, it was a big deal. An auditorium about 4,000 people, and I was invited to speak all week. Had a great time. Where else can you eat Asian food and speak English at the same time? I was having a great time in the Philippines and got to give my story of my health issue and the healing on the last session. When I tell that story, as some of you know, I use about 17 pictures and a video that chronicles the before and during and after journey. But when I got there to that day, the screens weren't working. Now, they didn't have the kind of screen that you do with a projection kind of thing. They had the Jumbotron kind of things from a sports stadium, one on each side of the auditorium. It all had to be lit up with their own electricity and image. And when I got there, they were totally black. And I said to the tech guy, what's going on? He said, no electricity. I don't know what no electricity means in Manila, but I didn't think it was a good thing. And so I started to pray. God, we need those screens. And little flashes of digital nonsense come up on the screen, and then it goes black. Meanwhile, the worship leader is up there leading the way, and he has to do the say a line, sing a line, because there's no lyrics on the screen, so we're leading the worship that way. And I'm getting nervous because my time is coming, it's coming, and I really need those pictures and that video. And so I was sitting next to a guy named Don who was representing the College of Prayer, kind of Mr. Spiritual Warfare guy. And I said, Don, I need those screens. Pray. And Don does this. He's rebuking demons. He's calling for angels. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is I got my eyes open and the whole screen lights up with digital nonsense and then goes black again. And I said, well, you got more than I did, buddy. Now it's time for me to preach. I am totally distracted. Black, black, black. Finally, I just stopped and said, friends, you're aware that these screens haven't worked all morning. I'm about to need them. Would you break into prayer huddles all over this auditorium and just ask God to give us those screens? I wish I had set my stopwatch, but it had to be, I'm saying, 4 minutes or less. And those screens lit up, worked perfectly in the entire service, never had any problem at all. That's a fun story to tell, and it was a fun moment to experience, but that's not the reason I told you the story. And the reason I told you the story is a year later, I was preaching in California, and a Filipino woman came running up to me after the service. And she said, Dr. Stumbo, do you remember when you were in Manila? Oh, yeah, I had a great time. Do you remember when you gave us your testimony? Oh, yeah. Do you remember how the screens didn't work? She was retelling me the whole story, and then she said something I didn't know. She said, we're still telling that story in the Philippines. Why? Because it became their story. You with me? God could have answered my prayers. give us the screens. God can answer Don's prayers. God's answered a lot of Don's prayers. But God waited, timing, the when. God waited till everybody got involved, so it became everybody's story. Rarely does the kingdom of Jesus advance in this world or in Erie, Pennsylvania, or anywhere through one guy or a few people alone. It's when all of the body of Christ starts to understand, oh, he meant me in Acts 1. And he meant that he'd give his spirit to me. And he meant that he would commission me to have impact through the gifts that he gives to me and the people that he allows me to see. Yes, that's when the kingdom of Jesus advances in this world, when we all understand that we have a part. And please don't tell God what you don't have. He already knows your age. He already knows your bank account. He already knows whether you can kneel or not anymore. He already knows all that. Don't tell him what you can't do. Just offer him what you have. Watch him bless it. Let me pray, please. Thank you for this congregation, their long-term dedication to you and the new wind that is blowing in this place in these days. We thank you. We would ask in Jesus' name that we would not miss what it is that you're saying to your bride today. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome your transformative power in our lives. We welcome you to enlarge our eyes to see those we would not otherwise see. We welcome you to enlarge our hearts to give and to pray in a bolder and broader and more generous way. We welcome you, Lord. Continue to bless this church, Lord, I pray. May First Alliance know a season of harvest from a wide variety of cultures of people who had come to faith in Jesus. May they have wisdom to know how to have beyond ESL more extensions into the community. May you guide them, Father, step by step. Thank you for the heart of this place. May Easter Sunday, may this place be full of people who have not yet embraced you as their Savior. We just ask for a season of harvest. But with that, may our hearts be more and more welcoming of your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.